You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor in 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of News Radio 1000 KTOK and Sports Radio 1340 The Game, I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G, saying welcome to episode number two or three, depending on how you look at it, of the Locked On Sooners podcast. We are recording this on Sunday. This is the Monday episode, so it's being recorded on the 26th of August, and this is the official start of us going 5 days a week here on Locked On Sooners, and hopefully throughout the season we can make this a six-day-a-week podcast, just because I know you'll want that instant reaction on Sunday, and I will do my best to get that out to you, depending on what obligations I have with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Locked On Thunder, and of course, my job here at iHeartMedia. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the battle at center. Quarterback is settled, so what's going to make the difference between Creed Humphrey and Jonathan Alvarez, and which one of those guys should get the job? How comfortable does OU feel about being able to plug both guys in at any given time? And what did Lincoln Riley have to say about that center battle? We'll have that in segment number one. Plus, we'll discuss putting your best players on the field when it comes to special teams. I know that there's a lot of coaches and a lot of fans that have their hearts go into their throat when they see certain guys returning punts or certain guys returning kickoffs. I'll give you my philosophy on that. In segment number two, we'll hear from Ruffin McNeil on just the growth of Lincoln Riley. What he saw from Lincoln Riley at Texas Tech, what he saw from Lincoln Riley at East Carolina. When did he know Lincoln Riley was going to be a head coach? And how these first three games, maybe even these first four, will tell us whether or not Mike Stoops' defense is going to be up to the task to having OU accomplish what we all want them to accomplish, which is getting to the college football playoffs. And finally, we'll wrap things up by getting off football and talk a little basketball and the possible updates to the Lloyd Noble Center or even the off-campus facility that could be used for men's and women's basketball, and I'm assuming other sports. Joe Castiglione talked about that this weekend during the opening of the Blake. So that'll be a fascinating conversation and one that we'll revisit from time to time here on Locked On Sooners. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game here in Oklahoma City and News Radio 1000 KTOK. I host the Saturday College Football pregame show with Randy Renner, and that gets underway this Saturday on 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, as well as other fine radio stations around the state, and the ONN are part of the Oklahoma News Network. I've covered the OU Sooners now for 5 years, and I'm a credentialed member of the media, so I will be at press conferences, practices, games, any place I can possibly get to get the latest information to you and talk about it here on this podcast. And I do my best to try and take some different roads, because there are a lot of podcasts out there that can do the X's and O's. There are a lot of podcasts out there that can do recruiting. I do my best to give you my opinions and talk about the big topics concerning OU football fans. As we jump into this episode of Locked On Sooners, coming up tomorrow, Lincoln Riley will have his first press conference of the season, and most likely he's going to name a center. Already named a quarterback, big shock, it was Kyler Murray, and I'll be surprised if Creed Humphrey is not the center for OU this year. Redshirt freshman, zero playing time at OU. And Jonathan Alvarez, yes, you can make the argument this guy started 13 games. He's played in 21 games. He's a redshirt senior. He has the experience. And OU definitely needs leadership and experience on that line. But you've given Jonathan Alvarez enough chances, and he's proven everything that he can possibly do for you as an offensive lineman at OU. And this guy's rotated position. And I guarantee that if you ask Jonathan Alvarez about his career at OU, he's going to tell you that it didn't turn out the way that he thought it would. And some of that's injury, and some of that's losing your job to a guy like Eric Wren. And it's not to say that Jonathan Alvarez has had a bad career at OU, but when coaches have to decide on the future and getting a guy reps and getting a guy used to playing big-time college football, or relying on that experienced senior, more often than not, you're going to go with the younger guy because he's going to be a little bit of, he's going to be around longer, and you can teach him, adjust him, and mold him the way that you want to mold him. There's still time for him to become the player you want him to become. Whereas the senior is pretty much what he's going to be. He's developed his habits, both good and bad. And there's probably not much you can teach him, and most likely when he's out there, he's going to rely on everything that he has learned from the past and his own instinct. I say go with Creed Humphrey on this. Lincoln Riley was asked about that when he named Kyler Murray the starting quarterback, and here's what he had to say.
Not yet. We're not yet on that one. That one's a little bit easier to play out just because of the nature of the position, a little bit easier to play out. So still a great battle, but not ready yet.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
The other thing is if you feel that comfortable with both guys playing center, then you could give them ample opportunity here in these first few games of the season. Even though there's really no rest for OU until the Kansas game, OU's still better than everybody on their schedule right up to and through Texas. So there's going to be times where, hey, if Creed Humphrey's not getting it done, you have the comfort of putting Jonathan Alvarez in and vice versa. And Lincoln Riley pointed out that, hey, both of these guys have been playing so well that it's not a problem to see either one of them playing and getting ample playing time in the first few weeks of the season.
That's the best competition out there. And they're two really good players. You know, it's going to be tough. That one is going to be really tough because they're both talented enough. You know, they're both skilled enough. You got two players where Creed Humphrey is probably the most talented of the group, and obviously Alvarez is the most experienced, having played all the games that he has and all the snaps he's had around here. So it's a pretty interesting dynamic. But you can tell each one has really kind of worked hard on their weaknesses, you know, I think, or maybe their weaknesses within this competition. Alvarez has really transformed his body physically. He's, you know, the best shape he has ever been in. And then Creed has really done a ton of work mentally, you know, and has really made up a lot of ground there. So it's the good thing right now is, you don't see a big difference. We tend to move it pretty decent with both of them in there. They're doing a good job snapping, doing a good job calling it. It's a heck of a battle.
If it comes down to talent versus experience, always take talent over experience because talent will develop into experience. And if Creed Humphrey somehow gets hurt, God forbid that he does, but if Creed Humphrey gets hurt, then you could just slide Jonathan Alvarez in. And as you've already said, there's no difference between one or the other. You don't notice that difference. So it makes it very easy to go with the young guy. And saying all that, tomorrow when Lincoln Riley does have that initial press conference to talk about Florida Atlantic, he'll probably tell the world that he's going to start Jonathan Alvarez, and I'll be completely wrong about this. Plus, this week, I'm anxious to see what Lincoln Riley has to say about Florida Atlantic. There should be more questions about that team. And ESPN has gone through, or not ESPN, it's The Athletic. The Athletic has gone through and ranked all the weeks of college football and the path to the college football playoffs. And OU's game with Florida Atlantic is considered an underrated game. I am actually fearful of this game, probably more fearful of it if Bob Stoops was coach versus Lincoln Riley. Because Bob Stoops against non-Power 5 schools that have something to prove was always somewhat of a bad mix. I don't get that feeling with Lincoln Riley. He did have the hiccup at Iowa State, but I certainly expect him to atone for that this year. Plus, Lincoln Riley's already walking around with a little bit of swag, and I think there's a new feeling, there's a new hunger at OU, and there certainly is with the defense, so we'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. Real quick on special teams, there's still a lot of things to decide for OU here in the next not only few days, or I'm sure they've already been decided as far as who's going to get those opportunities right away, but also in the next few weeks, because you could always see kick returners and punt returners change based on who may be showing up a little bit better at practice and who coaches might feel give them the best opportunity to do some damage in that particular area of the game or that particular phase of the game. My philosophy on this is put your best players on the field at all time. The guys you feel that give you the best opportunity to win, put him out there, and do not worry about whether or not CeeDee Lamb is going to get hurt returning punts, although I get the feeling it's probably not going to be him this year. Don't worry about Rodney Anderson returning kicks, or Sutton, or Marquise Brown. Even if these guys are every down players, if they give you the best opportunity to put your offense with a shorter field, go ahead and do it. They can get hurt being an every down player just as easy as they can get hurt playing special teams. And football's not a sport where you can really worry about that. And considering the fact that it's OU, and this is going to be a little arrogant, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, is that you're OU, if you've done your job in recruiting and you've managed to have all these 4- and 5-star kids that are on your team, whether they're seniors or freshmen or whatever, then you should have the depth where if somebody gets hurt, somebody else ought to be able to go in and you not see as big a drop-off as you would at Oklahoma State or Iowa State or Tech or any of the other schools in the Big 12. Both OU and Texas should be able to suffer injuries a lot better than everybody else in the conference. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your host, Eric G. Coming up next, what Mike Stoops had to say about the first three games of the season and how soon can we really tell if this OU defense is going to be as consistent as we need them to be this season. It's all right here on Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Thanks for joining us today on Locked On Sooners. Spread the word. This podcast is out and we want it to grow. Also, we're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which launched all its college podcasts, or some of its college podcasts, this last Thursday. All of them can be subscribed to on Apple iTunes. You can get them on Spotify, Google, and then, of course, there's Alexa. All of them. And we've got basketball schools, we've got football schools, and this is something that's going to grow throughout the year. So if you listen to Locked On Thunder and you're an OSU fan and you're wondering where the OSU podcast is, that's in the works. That's something that'll be coming down in the future. But the Locked On Podcast Network is doing everything it can to get local experts covering the biggest stories in the cities they work in. And don't forget, I'm also host of Locked On Thunder. We'll have another episode of that coming up this afternoon, and a lot to talk about with the Thunder as well. The biggest question every year with the Oklahoma Sooners is their defense and whether or not they're going to be good enough to stop more than a few teams a year. I was just on another podcast, and the whole philosophy or the whole feeling about the OU defense is they don't stop anyone, and the offense completely has to outscore everyone, which is true. And OU shouldn't have to score 50 freaking points a game just to get a win, especially in the Big 12. There isn't an offense in the Big 12 that should be so talented that we go into the game as fans just hoping that there's two or three stops in this defense and that the offense can score enough points and then OU wins the game. It's ridiculous to even think that. So how soon will we know how good OU's defense is? I say by Texas, because by then you're going to have 5 games under your belt. And you will have had time to make mistakes. You will have had time to see different kinds of offenses, especially having to take a look at Army, who will be coming in playing the option. You will have had time to play 2 conference games with Baylor and Iowa State. You will have had probably a tougher test than maybe what a lot of people are thinking with this Florida Atlantic team. And you would have played UCLA. By Texas, we should know whether or not OU is going to be consistent. And if it's been good 1 week, bad the next, going into Texas, then you can pretty much expect the same. And that's my biggest fear going into this season. Mike Stoops, though, he's a guy that doesn't lose confidence. And I don't ever get the feeling that Mike is going to be on the hot seat at any point during his career. I think as long as Lincoln Riley is the head coach, and because Bob Stoops put Lincoln Riley in that position to be the head coach, Mike Stoops is safe at OU for as long as he wants to be, and until somebody comes knocking on his door, and I don't know when and if that's going to happen, but I think also he's very just comfortable being in Norman, where he knows the ins and outs of the program and knows the ins and outs of the city. But he was asked by Barry Trammell about the first few games of the season, and here's what Mike had to say about not really having any off week.
Yeah, I hope that's what we're hoping for. That's we got a lot of young players, but I think the maturity that you see from some of our younger players that we're counting on, or their maturity is far beyond their years, or they wouldn't be able to do the things they're able to do. So I think we have confidence in the team that we put out there. I think will be a very skilled unit with a lot of versatility that is going to get tested by a fast-paced offense the first 2 weeks, and guys that can move the football. So we're going to know a lot about ourselves very quickly, and we're going to know what direction we're heading. So I think that's exciting, and I think that you can feel that, again, the intensity once we've focused on FAU. These guys are really zeroed in on, what we need to do to play well in this first game, and I think they're excited about it. So, I think we're all anxious to see other people's uniforms. And this group, again, we just got to stay poised, and, I think this group will, they can surprise a lot of people.
Starting young players doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me cringe at all. Maybe 10 years ago it did, but one, kids are a lot better prepared coming out of high school than they've ever been. You've also got a plethora of kids who will be on campus early, so they've had time to get used to playing college competition. And in some cases, you're seeing guys when you're at OU that are going to be better than the guys that you will see across from the field that you're playing from in games. So that doesn't bother me. And in a lot of ways, that's probably the best thing for OU, is to have young guys play, because they're, as we said with the whole Jonathan Alvarez situation, they're a lot more coachable when they're younger than they are older. And you get an opportunity to let them go out and make mistakes these first few games of the year, but they're so talented that they should be able to overcome. I'm going to be confident right now until I have no reason to not be confident in the OU defense. I'm also going to be confident in Lincoln Riley, because I just kind of feel like this guy's got something that even Bob Stoops didn't have. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Lincoln Riley's going to be a better coach, or he'll even have the success that Bob Stoops did. But there's that it factor relatability thing that I've been wanting from an OU head coach now for a while. And yes, this is going to make you throw up in your mouth when I say that I've been looking for that Mike Gundy relatability. Because for whatever you want to say about the Oklahoma State football program, the one thing about Mike Gundy is he can recruit, and that staff does an excellent job of developing players, getting those three-star guys in and then turning them in to really good college athletes by the time they leave Oklahoma State. And my philosophy on that is, if you're an OSU fan, yeah, it would be great to get five-star athletes and not have to work as hard developing them, but sometimes coaches can't relate to them. Never mind, as I digress and go back to saying what I wanted to say about Lincoln Riley is this: just being a little bit younger, being able to talk to kids on their level, making it feel like you're going to have fun when you come to OU and you're also going to compete. There's nothing wrong with that. And despite what Nick Saban says about people recruiting against him, saying that, oh, well, you're not going to have fun if you go to Alabama, and then Nick being the curmudgeon that he is, well, what's fun to me is winning. You're talking about a different kid and a different mentality, and sometimes that fun needs to come before the winning. And I've been wanting that at OU for a while, because I just didn't know if players were having fun with Bob Stoops. I think with Lincoln Riley and a lot of other guys on this staff, they do. And Ruffin McNeil, who's known Lincoln Riley at Texas Tech and has known him at East Carolina, had this to say about Lincoln and when he knew he was going to be a head coach and just how good he was going to be.
He's command influence. It's an army term, military term. The general is enthusiastic and organized and hardworking and excited and really leads by example. That's what he has. He among us, as a staff and a team. He's shown a great command influence on our team and program. And I watch it far. I sit in that back seat. So in team meetings, that back seat to the left is mine. So I watch him, and I get goosebumps and a little bit teary-eyed sometimes hearing him talk. Because, yeah, and he's done a great job and doing a great job right now. And not just relying on what we did last year, but raising the standards for us as coaches, from on the field to recruiting to what have you, to the players and team, you know, so really organized like I knew he would be. And you see him growing each day. And I just check on him. You good, boss? And I'm good.
Did you figure he was going to be a head coach pretty quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. In 2009 at the Alamo Bowl, after that game, I knew first he'd been offensive coordinator. Got a job. And then once you saw him operate, if you watch a coordinator run whatever side of the ball he's on, you can tell he's going to handle the team that way. So I watched him handle the offense, which add 50 more, that's the whole team, you know? So I knew he would be.
Yeah. How much of yourself do you hear and see in Lincoln?
Probably some of the mean words, you know, maybe. No. You see a little bit of everybody in him. And then you see what overrides him is seeing Lincoln being Lincoln. That's all I've ever told him, just be yourself. Because you can fix yourself. Don't be something you're not. And we've always talked, you know, even before I came here, you know, and shared. And just be yourself. Because you can fix yourself. You can try to be something you're not. It's hard to fix. So he's done a great job at that. And, you know, I smile from time to time. And then yesterday gave me a chance to talk to the team. And I'm sure he was smiling inside, too, because I did my deal.
He almost looks like he's getting choked up there, but talking to guys that have had the opportunity to talk to Ruffin McNeil on a longer basis than I have, they said that's the way that he sounds the entire time. But there is that proud dad sense, and it has to be very cool, for lack of a better word, for Ruffin McNeil to watch Lincoln Riley grow and be a part of that. And eventually there's going to come a day where Lincoln is going to get called by the NFL. And I believe he's going to answer that call. There's just no way Lincoln Riley or any new coach stays at one place as long as the Nick Sabans and Bob Stoops of the world did. And when that time happens, you can bet Ruffin McNeil is going to be somebody that Riley goes to for counseling when he ultimately makes that decision. We'll wrap things up, and you'll get to hear what Joe Castiglione had to say about the LNC, its improvements, and an off-campus facility, and why it's all so important to OU's future right here on the Locked On Sooners podcast.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Coming up tomorrow on the Locked On Sooners podcast, we will be talking with offensive players, defensive players. We'll hear from Lincoln Riley, and we'll start working more towards Florida Atlantic and breaking this game down a little bit more while talking about the big topics that OU fans want to know about. And getting off football just a bit to talk basketball here, one of the biggest questions plaguing OU right now is what's going to happen to the Lloyd Noble Center? What's going to happen with this new facility that's being proposed off campus in Norman? Well, the Blake opened, or as the kids are calling it, the Griff. I'm going to call it the Blake. The kids can call it whatever they want, but I'm calling it the Blake. The Griffin Family Performance Center at OU. Joe Castiglione talked and was asked about the Lloyd Noble Center, and then I asked him the follow-up question about the potential of an off-campus facility, and here's what Josie had to say.
Well, that is something we've been talking about here and there. You know, I know that's been a topic. We actually have a master plan for Lloyd Noble Center. It's not inexpensive, however. And we're talking about a building that's now above 45 years old. It's strong. It's structurally sound. It's obviously very functional. We plan to, you know, have the Lloyd Noble Center for many years to come. The master plan has more to do with the ever-changing interest, needs, requirements of fans, you know, what they're expecting in their venues. And so our master plan is quite extensive. It does change the dynamics of Lloyd Noble. I really like the plan. It's just that, you know, we're not in a position with the current economy in Oklahoma to move forward. It's well in excess of $100 million to renovate that facility so it becomes state of the art. But having said that, you know, it's still very good. You know, we're just trying to acquiesce to, you know, what people want. Well, let's face it, people are going to Chesapeake Arena, whether they're Thunder fans or whether they go to concerts, they see, you know, what the current state-of-the-art venues are offering, and we're trying to put certain things in that building as we can, but the way the space has been designed, we're limited, and we want to keep people coming to the games. And so obviously our goal is geared toward that. Most importantly, our goals are in order of priority, and that is to do what's best to put our student athletes in a position. Because if you forget that, the rest does not matter. So first and foremost, it's always going to be how we help put them in the best position to be successful, and that's always going to be our number one priority.
How much talk is there of the off-campus facility? Is that still in the works?
Yes, it's still being discussed. You know, we've had some signals from the city government, and we're now talking about some other opportunities that might present itself. Just working behind the scenes to see what that might mean going forward. I'm not at liberty to get into any other kind of detail, but it still remains an active subject as far as we're concerned. There's no timetable. Obviously, there are some other elements, you know, that all have to come together. And you just, again, like I said earlier, we're talking about a much smaller project, but all the different people, the priorities, the financial resources, the interest, the passion, the timing all has to align correctly for something like that to happen. So we'll just continue to keep it alive and talk through what needs to happen, you know, to make it a reality. Again, I want to say it's not ever been about just an arena. That's not our interest. You know, it's an opportunity that came before us. We were asked if we'd be interested, and they presented an opportunity to be part of a much bigger live, life, work, play concept, which included an entertainment district. It was something that was very progressive for Norman. We thought we could be, you know, great partners in the greater good of what's best for our citizens of Norman and Cleveland County. How, you know, this new entity could complement what's going on in downtown Oklahoma City. You know, you've heard and read all of the different things we've said. And, you know, there's still a lot of people that are excited about something like that for Norman. So we'll just wait and see how things evolve. You know, it's like a game. Sometimes, you know, you just got to hang in there and, you know, keep battling and see how it turns out. Right now, we've got a place to play. We're not going anywhere, so it's nothing, you know, nothing that we're going to do except continue to, you know, make it a great experience for everybody involved.
There's a lot to digest there, and we're going to have to come back and revisit this topic on OU's off week, that week between Texas and TCU, to really talk about everything that Joe Castiglione's talking about, because it could take up an entire segment. It could take up two segments to discuss this. But real quick, I'll hit on this. I had a chance to talk with Joe one-on-one away from everybody else. And what Joe told me, and I think he may have even mentioned this in the media scrum, is that when OU builds facilities now, and starting with the Griffin Family Center, and maybe even what they've done with football, is all these buildings are being built so they can expand, and you don't have to build new buildings, making it more cost-effective, because there's no school in the nation that understands what facilities mean to recruiting, getting coaches, fan experience, everything that goes along with it the way that OU does. And they certainly understand that that is a major part of their success. So that was the biggest thing. The other thing for Joe Castiglione that's big when it comes to like the Griffin Family Center is functionality. Eye candy's great. He said, like, all these things that you put up, all the stuff that looks neat is great, but how does it help how does it help the fan experience? How does it help players get better? Is something Joe said. The other thing, and this is my opinion on this, start to look at attendance among students around America. These are the people that you need to cater to, because you're always going to get guys like me who want to go back to the game for experience. And when it gets a little bit too, you know, when it gets too expensive or whatever, we've got it on television, and you're still going to have somebody there waiting in line. It's the students who are constantly plugged in and have constant communication that aren't getting that at the games and want to stay plugged into all their friends, those are the ones that you're going to have to cultivate from now on. And that's not just at OU. That's an issue with everybody around college athletics. That wraps up this Locked On Sooners. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk more about Florida Atlantic as we get you ready for OU and Game 1, which will kick off Saturday, September 1st. And until then, I wish you nothing but the best. God bless both you and your family, and of course, Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.